Clodagh, it's Arch here. Hope you're well. Listen, mate, I had a really nice little deal come off. So I'm going to be a little bit late for the recording of the pod. I'm just at Fitstairs putting on a cheeky little bet for the Lions. Buddy, going to be really late. Sorry, I've just had the most delicious Michelin star meal. I just had chicken in an avocado reduction. I mean, it's not even on the menu. I just asked them to do it, and I'm just getting them to do me some poached eggs, and then I'll be along. But mate, just put this at the beginning that they're still running that 5-1 on the Lions to win the series 3-0. It's a bloody good offer, and I know the rugby market, so I definitely think they should get that done. Put that at the top. Most likely they'll skip past it anyway, but if they do listen to it, they should definitely sign up to Fitstairs. It's so money.
Well, sadly, Archie never actually rocked up because he got far too pissed at Fitstairs, so he had to cancel the original recording date. But fear not, because Fitstairs have got a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for you all today. It is honestly beyond incredible. You can go start an account and bet up to £25 on any market for the first Lions test match. And if you lose that bet, don't worry about it, because I'll tell you what, they're giving you that back in a free bet for the second test. So go, be crazy, come up with a creative venture, if you will, put it on any market for the first test match. And if you lose, fear not, for that money is not gone. You will then get a free bet for that worth to spend on the second test match. All you have to do is go into the bio for this podcast, click on the link, and treat yourselves. Good luck, boys. Let's bring it home.
More lads, more lads, more lads, more lads. A bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Rig Biz Podcast, Episode 3. My name is Freddie Claude, and today I'm joined by an incredibly boisterous Mr.
Freedom!
Archie Kerrs.
Freedom! Mate, that song is so money.
I don't know.
Imagine Nickelback re-recorded that. That would go straight to number one.
Right, okay.
That would be in my CrossFit playlist.
Have you been singing that all week?
Yeah, yeah. And all the boys love it. I just send like people voice notes going, Freedom! Freedom!
So have you been enjoying your newfound freedom?
Oh, mate, have I? I was in Inferno's Monday night you, delivering live banter to the masses.
Yeah, it was a fantastic evening.
A bloody night. I felt a bit ropey on Tuesday, I'll be honest with you.
I'm not surprised.
Drinking with old Andy Powell, otherwise known as Powley, or as I nicknamed him, the Power Hour.
Yeah, yeah. Very good.
He's bloody good bloke.
What happened
bloody
to him? Because I booked him a hotel room and they phoned me the next day saying, you never turned up.
Yeah, I don't
was
know.
He back
mate,
at yours?
I offered, I said, I've got a couple of slow roast chickens back at mine. You
wasn't,
fancy
wasn't
it?
Keen.
No, wasn't keen. Wanted to continue drinking. And I said to him, listen, mate, I've got an 8:30, so I've got to go. He didn't understand what an 8:30 was, but then I explained it in quite a lot of detail, what I do and what an 8:30 is. And I'm pretty sure he really enjoyed that bit of chat.
Okay, well, I'm not so sure. He went running. But that was a fantastic, fantastic evening.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, the last 5 days, we have been blessed.
Oh,
I mean, this heat wave
it was
almost
so
killing
rigged,
me. You've been absolutely loving it.
Yeah,
what have you been up to?
Yeah. When the weather is that beaut, all you need is a pair of shorts, flip-flops, and a rugger pull. And a phone. Because you want to get that content.
You want to record
and
that
I was getting some really good content. Got a really nice photo of me, like topless, with the ball mid-air, just looking at the camera. But I was out with a couple of CrossFit chaps, and yeah, their chat was on fire. We actually had like a competition between the CrossFit guys. Who could do the most press ups? It was bloody good.
Pitter
patter. Nunchuck. Yeah. We call him that because he's bloody handy with the bar. But yeah. No, big shout out to Nunchuck. He's a good boy. He's a good boy. Loves his lager. But he was actually explained to me, which is actually really interesting. He loves his lager, but that means he has to, you know, hit it hard in the gym after a big session on the old Birrios. And fair play to him. He's a bloody good Nick. Chloe, before we get into the guest chanter, one thing I thought would be good is I've been thinking over the past couple of years, I've done a lot of free advertising for Lynette.
Yeah.
Because I love it and I want to. But I have been thinking about Legacy, and I think it's about time that we try and arrange them to give me something back.
Okay, what are you thinking?
So I'm going to call them. I'm just going to see if it's viable to see if I can get a plaque or a restaurant named after me.
Okay, well,
just bear with me. I'm going to make a call. And
you want to call the Ned now and ask if you can get a restaurant or a plaque?
Just watch how business is done.
Afternoon,
Ned. How can I help? Oh, hi there. It's Archie Cousin here calling. Who am I speaking to?
You're speaking with
Shanit
today.
Shanit, hi there. I'm just wondering if you can help me. I have sent various people messages on LinkedIn, but I'm a member and have been for many a year. But I'm a businessman, but I'm also an influencer, and I now command over 50,000 followers on Instagram. And I do a lot of free advertising for the Ned. And I was just wanting to speak to someone about potentially getting a plaque made and putting somewhere in the vicinity. Just to celebrate myself.
If you send email to inquiries@thened.com and then we will forward it on to the correct department.
Right, okay. But you think this is possible though?
You said you want a plaque.
Yeah, ideally a restaurant, renamed after myself. Just I've done a lot in the last 2 years of sort of advertising for the Ned. I go there quite a lot every sort of Thursday, Friday. I'm on the roof enjoying a lot of lash. And I just think it would be a nice touch, you know, a bit of legacy. Eventually I'm going to move out of London and move to Surrey. And I'd just like to leave something, you know, that potentially my future children can see.
The best thing to do is send an email to inquiries@thened.com and then we can forward this on to the correct department for you.
Okay, but it sounds positive. It sounds like you're open to the idea, which is positive. I'll get my PA to draw up an email and then, you know, follow up a week today. And then, you know, hopefully I can come in for a meeting or we can have lunch at one of the many restaurants at the Ned or even on the roof. If it's weather like today, then why not? Okay, well, look, lovely to speak to you. Great service as always, and look forward to seeing you very soon.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
I'll give you flowers and a magnum. Combat now is a clap of man's ransom. I'll give you flowers and a magnum. Combat now is a clap of man's ransom. You said cooking was easy. Gets a lot better when you order through Wheezy. And I swear that it's easy, easy peasy, like lemon squeezy. And I beg you to please me, fresh food delivered in 10 minutes, you see me. And I don't want a queue, so what's a man gotta do? To get some fresh food and the best booze to be sent straight through. And I use my Reebus discount now, so I get half price off my whole shop. I'll bring you Wheezy in the morning rain. Living without you is driving me insane. Yeah, I'll bring you Wheezy. I'll make your day. The tears you. Yeah, yeah. I'll dry them all away because I'm about to give every single person listening 50% off Wheezy up to 50 quid. Am I crazy? I don't know. But go on
What's
there
the code,
and get
mate?
The freshest
Tell
groceries,
me.
Brews, and the best things you could ever need in 10 minutes that have been straight to your door. No more queuing, no more fucking around. Half price right here, right now. All you have to do is put in the code RIGBIZ in the Wheezy app.
Thank you very much. I will be doing that right away.
Clodagh. You are getting bloody good at those songs.
Well, I'm thinking about getting professional, to be fair.
Well, yeah, you could with my help, I think you could make it. Okay. Talented. Write it down that speak to me outside of working hours and maybe I can formulate a plan.
Okay.
I could definitely get you a gig at the Ned.
Okay, I'll put that down. Well, I've got a little surprise for you, Archie. I must be honest. You know we're doing a 6-ep line special.
Yeah, only lines legends.
Only lines
only
legends
Only Richard
allowed.
Hibbard.
Yeah, only lines allowed. Well, sadly, we're breaking that rule today.
Rules are there to be broken, man.
And I'll tell you for why.
I've taken a few non-members up to the roof of the Ned.
God, that is actually incredibly naughty.
Yeah.
Could get you banned. But I was watching Love Island over the weekend, and then I saw an
great
advert.
Great program.
I saw an advert for the
great,
Olympics.
Great program.
Yeah,
just get a house and put a shitload of chassis in there. See what happens.
Yeah, it's a great concept. And then I also saw an advert.
If Infernos could have no roof, that's what Love Island would be.
Yeah, true. And I also saw an advert for the Olympics. I had no idea it was coming about.
Yeah, this week starts this week.
So then I thought, why don't we do an Olympic special? But then who do we get? And then
Ian Thorpe.
No. We got
Jessica Ennis.
No.
Okay.
We've
Greg
got,
Rutherford.
No.
He'd like it.
We've got another Greg. We've got the last winner, the champion of Love Island.
Greg O'Shea. Mate.
And now Irish seven star.
Mate, plays rugby, got a rig, got a million followers on Instagram, and is verified. That is bloody good work. Write that down. Because at a yearly review, we'll talk about that. But that's bloody good booking from you.
Should we get him in?
Yeah, let's bring him in.
All right, lads. How are you?
How are you doing, Greggy?
Very well. Thanks, thanks for joining us for some chat.
You're grand. How are you? You've been set up for a while, yeah?
Oh, mate, we've been ready for you. We, you know, when you get on a Love Island winner and a Irish rugby superstar, you're ready.
Yeah.
It's a weird mixture, isn't it?
Mate, it's a wonderful
mixture. It's about right. I think me and you have got a lot of similarities. You know, I'm quite a hot property on Instagram, Greg, and I'm a semi-professional rugby player. So, yeah.
Would you rather go into the Villa or be a professional rugby player? Which one?
I mean, I've got the chassis for it, mate. I've got the chassis for it. But I think, you know, Clapham is where it's at, mate. I don't think I'm going to leave Clapham anytime soon. Have you been out in Clapham before?
I've been walking around Clapham, but I've never been out in a night out there. I heard good things, though.
Mate, you do very well. You would do very well.
Firstly, Greg, I want to congratulate you on qualifying for the Olympics with the Irish boys. It was quite the journey for you individually and also the country, so congratulations for that. But you were called up somewhat last minute. There was a bit of, you know, hoo-ha. And then you went on to cause the greatest upset and beat the French in Monaco. So can you tell our listeners how your call-up came about and also your memories from that wonderful day in Monaco?
Yeah, man. So it's a long story, but I basically picked up a lot of injuries at the start of the year, groins, hamstrings, calves, and wasn't training. And if you don't train, you can't play. So I wasn't initially picked for the team to go to Monaco, which is kind of embarrassing because obviously I've been spurting out for the last 2 years that I'm not going to follow the celebrity life. So I'm not going to be the Love Island winner. I'm going to come home and go to the Olympics. And then I wasn't picked. So I looked like a bit of a Muppet, like, to be honest. You know what I mean? After giving out that story to everyone. But Sunday night, 10 o'clock, I got a call off the head coach. I actually had a missed call off him. And I was like, why is the head coach ringing me at 10 o'clock at night? And I was like, you know what? I'll ring him back. And he goes, you ready to go on the plane in the morning? And I was like, what do you mean? You didn't pick me. Like, I to be honest, he doesn't notice. But I had flights booked to go away and enjoy myself because I didn't think I'd be around. You know what I mean? So it was a quick change of plans. I was like, of course, yeah, 100%. I'll be there. Because one of the lads picked up a knock. Flew the next morning with the team, and I thought I'd just be traveling reserve for the week, but I was happy to be there with the lads in Monaco. Ended up training really well, and the coach backed me, started me at out half, played all the minutes, beat France, and now I'm on the plane to Tokyo. So, man, it was crazy couple of days for me. And to beat France in Monaco,
like, you don't beat it.
It was just such a build-up over 2 years because obviously the pandemic pushed the Olympics out a year. So every day you're waking up being like, okay, I'm not going to train because we're trying to go to the Olympics and beat France just for 2 years. It's just such a build up. And it paid off. We trained really hard over the last couple of years and beat the French.
How loose did it get after you beat them? Monaco is a place where, you know, things can happen.
Yeah, we were hoping we'd get a big piss up, but sure, they're all restricted over there as well. So we weren't allowed outside the hotel.
I know.
We had a pissed up in the hotel with the team and with the staff. And in fairness, they gave us loads of beers and wine. And we just took over the floor of the hotel and just drank till early hours and celebrated together. So it was class.
Yeah. Well, that's incredible. I mean, obviously, you're an incredibly well-recognized face amongst town, in the cities, in the shires. Everywhere you go, people go, there's Greg O'Shea, the Love Island and rugby legend. Archie thinks he's a well-recognized face, 52,000 followers.
Yeah.
He's getting
53, mate.
53, I'm so sorry. He's also semi-pro rugby player, plays for Clapham Falcons in Div 5, yes. London South.
Yes.
He gets quite a lot of chat from the Oppo when he plays. You know, the Putney Pirates is a derby game. For yourself, being such a well-recognized face amongst town, what's the sort of the worst thing you've been called? Do the boys jump into you? Do they go, there's Greg? Are they respectable? What goes on?
Do you know what, man? I actually thought coming out of the Villa and coming back to Sevens that I'd be abused, like, on the pitch. It's such an easy slag, like, being, oh, you're not in the Villa now, man. Do you know what I mean? Kind of thing. Or all that kind of, that shite. But I didn't get anything off the opposition players. But I think because of the Sevens is, you're living in each other's pockets. You're in hotels together, buses together, eating together with all the other teams. If you start making enemies, it's just going to be awkward for the whole season. Like, so fellas are pretty friendly. We get on well with the English team, actually, and the Scottish as well, and the Welsh. But the most abuse I get off is my own teammates, like in the dressing room. Like, every day they're just slagging me. They see me put up a story and they're on to me, abusing me, like, which is funny, do you know what I mean? And when they stop slagging me, that's going to be the problem, do you know what I mean?
Same with me. The guys in my rugby team, they absolutely abuse me.
What do they say?
They just say, like, you know, they say I've got shit hair, I've got shit chat. they normally take the piss out of me in the showers, but I know that they're joking. I know that they're joking. It's like, it's just good banter.
You got rugby dick, small dick.
Yeah. Well, no, it just, it's in the shower. Sometimes it goes a little bit, but I mean, like, it's natural.
Happens to everyone. Yeah.
It does. Yeah. I was told
about chronic rugby dick. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I get that kind of abuse as well from my family as well, but in a nice way.
Well, Archie hasn't seen his father in 2 years. His dad's been using the pandemic as an excuse not to see him.
Yeah. Well, no, he's just been really busy.
Incredibly busy for 2 years. Well, talking about being busy in the pandemic, I know you've said over the last year or so you found it hard to date anyone during the pandemic. Archie sadly hasn't had a successful date or girlfriend in over 3 years.
Don't want to. Being single.
Well, yeah, okay, you're quite unhappy. But so
now, I am really happy. I'm really, really happy.
How have you, Greg, kept yourself busy? And how do you scratch the itch? You know, it's a year living in a bi-secure bubble. What do you do for a little bit of a breakout?
Do you know what, man? It's been fairly like just training the whole time. And here in Ireland, we're even further behind E. We don't have any crack going on. So I'll be honest, man, it's starting to get a bit tough now. We try to get the Olympics out of the way and then I'll let loose a bit. We have a kind of holiday planned with the boys already after the Olympics, and I'll probably get over and travel around Europe for a bit, and I'll let myself loose because it's been building up. You know yourself, Archie.
Mate, you've got to get to Clapham. You would release a lot of energy here. Mate, more than happy. I'm the CEO of Clapham. I'll take you out for a night out, and it will be a night you never forget. I'll get Lima involved. It will be big.
You know what, man? Building up to 53,000 followers just off your own accord, being your own person, is much better than what I have, because I was just handed followers going into Love Island.
Yeah, but that must be intense. I mean, do you find it hard to go from that to something and people think that they know you?
Yeah, it was fairly crazy, man, when it happened. Sure, it's nearly 2 years ago now. 2 years ago since I was in the show and won it, but I'm still the current champion because there was a gap year. So yeah,
congratulations.
But I went from like only having 2,000 followers to blowing up to 1.7 million was the peak. But then obviously the whole thing happened with me deciding not to stay with Amber, and Amber's army just turned on me. Like hashtag unfollow Greg was trending on Twitter. I lost 700,000 followers like that. Like it was crazy, man. Going from being the man to everyone hating you. But there was no point me coming out and fighting my corner, fighting my place, because I just wasn't going to win. Like, so 2 years on, I finally got my story out there, and the hate kind of stopped. I think people got bored of me not reacting to them, and they went on to other people, thank God.
Do you find a lot of people slide into your DMs?
Yeah. What's the weirdest thing which has come into your DMs?
Yeah.
Man, I've got a lot of marriage proposals. Like people offer me green cards, like American women and Canadian women and stuff, being like, if you ever just want to come over here and get a green card, I'll marry you. And it's like, do you know, it's a good offer. You never know. Maybe you might want to be American. Mate,
land of opportunity.
Yeah, that's weird. And a lot of nudes, man, but like not nudes that you'd be happy to see. Like, do you know what I mean? You're like, oh, you turn the phone away. So
yeah. I haven't got to that stage yet. I do send a lot of girls like chassis shots.
Yeah.
You know, just, you know, they'll send me a photo or ask for photos, or sometimes they don't even ask for photos, but I just send them photos of me just topless.
Are you on Raya, Greg?
I'm not on Raya, but I've been advised to go on it by a lot of people. Are you on it?
No, well, we've had Freddie Burns was on the podcast. He was on Raya and he completed it. And the girl he had at the time from Raya, and I don't think he'll mind me saying this, they're no longer together, but she was a worldie.
Yeah, she was.
He was definitely punching.
American model.
Yeah.
What's the sauce with it? It's all like, you have to be verified to be on Raya.
You have to be famous. So me and you would be fine. Although they still have not accepted me, which is really disappointing.
Well,
one of the boys, Harry McNulty, he's in the team with us, and he went to LA. He's been with the LA Giltinis, or I'm not sure how you pronounce their name, but he's verified, and he went on Raya when he was over in LA, and he was coming across people like Cara Devlin and Madison Beer.
Yes, please.
Man, I need to get over. We need to get you out. Yeah. Maybe they could sort of, I need to find like a sort of Clapham related area in LA.
Greg, do you ever think about how much money you passed up by choosing sevens and not, you know, capitalizing on those followers?
Man, literally every day. I think about
it. Yeah.
So much money.
Do you reckon you could put a rough figure on it?
Jesus. It's easily hundreds of thousands anyway. Easily.
My dad says in your 40s, you make a lot more money. So you've got time to come.
Yeah. And like the seven, no one could come at me being like, oh, you're just chasing rugby money, because the sevens, we get paid below minimum wage. Like it's not lucrative. Well,
I quit sevens.
Yeah.
That's why I did.
You had to go to the city. Greg, is it true that a couple of weeks before you went into the Love Island house, you suffered an injury which could have ruined any chance of you being successful in that show?
Yeah, man. I don't know if you can see it, but my mate, the guy I talked to about there a while ago, the LA Guillotini's Harry McNulty, he kneed me in the face, cracked my skull, crushed my skull there, broke my eye socket, and broke my nose. I don't know if you can see it there, but
Jesus Christ, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Like, and I was just lucky that it was the front skull, and there's two layers at the front of your skull. So it basically just collapsed the canal. If it was anywhere else around the skull, you would have to get like immediate brain surgery. But your man is just like, the surgeon said, yeah, your just canal is closed. Over years, that's going to get worse for your nasal ability. Like, but for now, you're grand. Just play on. So I just played on.
Fuck me. Sheesh. That is quite incredible. And also, how did you make the decision to go into the house? There's been some theories that you didn't tell any of your players. They all thought you were fucking off for a jolly or maybe nipping back to see your mum. And then before you know it, you're on Love Island. Can you take us through what happened?
Yeah, it's a long enough story now about me getting onto the show. I'll give you the quick synopsis. So there's, if you want to take notes here, there's three ways of getting onto the show. There's, you get a...
Hold on, let me get a pen. Well, you write this down, Freddie. Yeah. You write this down. Yeah, yeah, you write this down. Yeah.
There's, you want to get spotted in the streets around Clapham, places like that by like TV reps or Love Island reps, and they come up to you and be like, would you like to do the interview? That's grand. That's one way. Two is you can apply and you might get accepted to do all the interviews. People like Ovi did that, and obviously he's a very cool person, so there's no shame in applying. And three is they send you DMs on Instagram after like a verified ITV account, and you go through that process. So that's what happened to me the last one there. I got a DM, followed all the process, did like four interviews going across to London and back, ended up getting to the final round, which I never thought would happen. And they offered me to be a day one Islander. Couldn't do it because I was still trying to go to the Olympics. I was like, lads, I honestly just can't go into the show. I can't take the offer. Thanks very much. But I have to go back home and train. So we went our separate ways, and they got back onto me during the show, like 6 weeks on, asking am I available to go in. But I wasn't available till the 15th of July, and the deadline was the 12th of July. So I was like, look, it's not going to work. You said it yourselves. But they moved a few things around, changed a few stuff, and flew me from the Olympic qualifier in France to the villa. I literally played on the Sunday evening in the tournament and was in the villa the Monday morning. Like, it was crazy. And ended up winning the show. And it was the most bizarre turnaround ever.
Apparently, you know, there are some weird and wonderful things which happen in the house, which we will touch on. But the weirdest is apparently they film you on the toilet in the house. Is that true? That can't be true.
Yeah, 100% true. When you go into the toilet, there's a camera right there in your face. Like, you're taking the shit, man, and there's people looking at you. Well, they can look at you. But what the producers say is they obviously just have that bit, but they're not doing anything with it. Like, they're not going to put that on the show. And they basically just have cameras in there in case a couple want to go in there and do the handy pandy.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? They're not going to be able to clip that.
Luckily, they don't have any cameras in the cubicles in Infernos.
that could tell some stories.
Yeah. Did you know early on that it wasn't long term with Amber? Like, because like, you know, like for instance, I take girls back from from Infernos or Number 32, which is a lovely bar. Greg, again, you'd love it. You know, I take them back to mine. I normally have some boiled chicken and then put on Living with the Lions, and then we get down to it. But I will know quickly in the morning if they are the future Mrs. Cousin or not.
And they never are.
They never are. No. Except one girl did get close because her father did have a place in Portugal, which would have been handy.
That actually is incredibly handy.
Yeah.
So what was it like with Amber?
She's gorgeous. Like, she's so beautiful and a lovely person. But the thing was, I always knew in the back of my head, I was like, I'm going back to Ireland here. Unless she's willing to move to Ireland, I don't see how this relationship is going to prosper and keep going. And I always kind of said that to her. I'd always be talking about Ireland and her in the UK and stuff. But I think she thought I'd fight for it longer, long distance, and keep going for a few months, see if we make it work. But I just had to be realistic with the situation. I said to her, look, I'm here training full time. You're over there doing all your stuff. How is this going to work realistically? And that went down like fucking a bag of shite. Like, she just flipped the lid, hated that. And she expected me to kind of fight for it more. And it was kind of over FaceTimes and calls. And we had one chat in person about it. And then it was kind of like final nail in the coffin was she was like, I don't want to be with someone who isn't sure that they want to be with me. And I was like, grand, so that's fine. Let's just leave it here so it doesn't get any worse. And I went training, came back and checked my phone, and the article is released that Greg breaks up with Amber over text. I was just like, is she fucking for real? Like, she knows that's not the truth. I rang her. I was like, why would you bother doing this? I was like, you know that's not the truth. That's not what happened. And she goes, look, it wasn't me. I didn't want that to happen. It was whoever her people are. And it was just too late. Damage was done. And I was like, look, I don't want to talk to you again. I can't believe you just tried to destroy me like that. And we went our separate ways. And we didn't talk again then until Caroline Flack passed away. And I sent Amber a message because I knew how close she was to her after she kind of, she was so upset after what happened with Michael and Castle Moore. And I can't remember the girl's name, but all that happened, the drama, and Caroline really took care of Amber. So I just messaged her, like, hope you're all right. I know you probably took just a lot harder than all the other Islanders. And she reciprocated the support, and we've kind of just left it there. Yeah.
But Greg, let's be, you know, well, let's carry on being serious, because it wasn't just you who suffered from the fallout with Amber. Your family and close friends actually got quite a large bit of the brunt from it as well. So how tough was it? Obviously, was it true they were getting death threats? Was it true that, you know, they were getting all these horrible messages and getting abused in the streets? Was that true? Like, how bad did it get? How hard was it to handle?
It got really bad for the couple of months after this whole article came out that I broke up with her over text. People just fucking lost their head. Like, I got so angry that I didn't follow the normal route you're supposed to do. I was getting death threats personally, but that obviously it did kind of affect me a little bit, but not so much like that I was getting depressed from it. It was just kind of annoying. And what really got at me was hate mail going to my mother and my sisters and my mates. My mates were getting told to like stab me in the back of training, and my mother was being called every name under the sun. And when it starts getting to your friends and family, that's when it gets a bit too much. So I just shut off all my mother's like social media, made her private. And just kind of took the brunt of it for a couple of months. And eventually they just get tired if you don't bite back. I think being part of a rugby team, man, really helped in that you're kind of used to getting slagged, and it's kind of a really tight group of lads, and you just kind of get used to it. And if I was anyway inclined to get kind of depressed by that stuff, it would have probably sent me down a very bad route.
Yeah.
I was actually grand from it, man. And it blew over. I lost 700,000 followers, and That just happens.
Well, like, you know, Greg, what's the weirdest commercial offer you've ever been given? Obviously, OnlyFans is blowing up, you know, the private porn world. Have you ever been given like a call from someone being like, look, mate, you've got a great chance, you're incredibly famous, we'll give you $2 million if you shoot a porno or something like that?
Why have you never asked me these questions?
Sorry?
Why have you never asked me these questions?
Well, because it's not the same kettle of fish, Arch.
Right, okay, fair enough.
So what's
the start on OnlyFans though? Sounds good.
Hello there, it's Mrs. Sandbridge Rogers' mother. I was wondering, are you in Wandsworth by any chance?
Yes, I am.
My boy has just got his exam results and completely failed, and I was wondering if we could send him up the old chutes like they used to, if he could come do some work experience with you, sir.
Yeah, I'm afraid we're not allowed to do that anymore. We can't send them up chimneys, thinking health and safety.
What? You're kidding? But you've got to understand, sir. We spend so much money on this bastard's education. And it's not funny. We just got a call from the school, and I just want to send him up there, get him wrapped up in coal, and, you know, just treat him wrong.
Yeah. I should ask for a refund from the school, because it was probably a very expensive education, wasn't it?
A ghastly thing. I shouldn't have had him. We didn't want to go ahead with it, but his bloody husband, his father, sorry. Okay, so we can't send him up the chute with you tomorrow?
I'm afraid not, no.
Okay, well, thank you so much for taking the call, sir.
Okay, goodbye.
Do you regret having kids? Of course you fucking do. They're dirty little shits who never work hard enough, and you end up spending 30 grand a year on their education, only for them to turn out to be nimble, little dirty excuses of men and women. Well, fear not. At AC Limited, we are now illegally bringing back the chimney trade. So if they do fail their exams and don't get into universities, and you're sick and tired of spending money on them, then please send them to the AC Limited Chimney Warehouse, and we will see them to work.
I've contemplated starting an OnlyFans, man, because there's some people making serious bag off that. Like, yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. But I don't know if there's a market for someone like me, but...
I think there is.
I don't know if I do that anyway, but a weird one that kind of came through, but I suppose it's not weird, but I was talking to Bumble for a while about trying to organize something with them, but I just decided that it wasn't kind of for me, and that kind of fell through. But that was probably a funny one that came through if I was promoting Bumble.
Was there anything incredibly embarrassing which we didn't get to see on the cameras which you suffered at whilst in the house on the island? Was there anything weird which happened to you which we didn't know at the time?
Well, I suppose it was embarrassing in an appearance wise. When I went in, I wasn't prepped at all. I wasn't ready. I went in with my pasty Irish skin, and I thought it was too cool to wear sun cream. The first day I got absolutely scalded. I had a heat rash all over my body. My lips were all burnt. They were like pussing, and it was blood and cracked. Oh man, it was disgusting. And I told the producers, I was like, look, or I asked them, is this, can you see this on TV? Like, is this looks terrible? And they're like, no, you can't see it on TV. You'll be grand. So I just kept going on with it. And like, I don't know if you saw it, but like at some stages when I'm kissing Amber, I'm kind of like close mouth like that, because I like puss and disgusting lips like it. And so that was kind of rotten, but no one knew that would happen. And I kind of got away with it. That was just stupid Irish man going in thinking he can handle the sun.
Who's the loosest rugby player you've ever met, been friends with or played with?
Zeebs.
Zeebs, I was a big fan of Zeebs growing up because I was only in academy. I was a young fella just out of school and Zeebo was Simon Zeebo. So I was always just in awe of him in training and he'd be doing stuff that was just ridiculous. And he would just be laughing while he's doing it. So I was just, the level of skill that man has is class. The loosest person I've met, and I would have loved to go on a piss with him, was James Haskell. I interviewed him a few months ago, and I could just tell he is serious crack. Like, he's just always cracking jokes.
He's Archie's best mate.
He's my best mate. I call him the fridge. Yeah, yeah. He's been on this podcast a number of times. I've actually, I've been on the good, the bad, and the rugby with him. I'm fighting. I don't know if you know Alex Payne. Do you know Alex Payne?
I do know, yeah. He's the anchor.
Yeah, I'm fighting him in November for charity.
Boxing, it should be said.
Yeah.
You think you'll have him?
Oh, mate, I'm going to take him down.
Would you organise a night with Greg, the fridge,
yeah,
Leams?
No problem. When Greg gets to London, it's happening. It's happening. We're taking you. We're going to christen you in Clapham, and you it'll be the best night of your life.
I'd love it, man. I saw him in the DM, saw him in Clapham.
Yeah, and I promise you, you'll probably end up getting married to someone.
Yeah, you probably
will. It'll be like Love Island.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll be here for 2 weeks, and then you'll end up in a relationship.
Yeah.
But this time you'll be making a lot of coin.
You're going to be making so much coin, it's unbelievable. But obviously travelling with the Sevens team, as you were talking about earlier, you go to incredible destinations. I mean, it must be such fun, even if you're not paid that much. But what's the weirdest foods and situations you've got yourselves into whilst travelling all corners of the world? I mean, have there been some horrifying moments where you've been appalled by the local cultures?
No, man. The cultures are unbelievable. So we go to places like Sydney, Hamilton in New Zealand, LA, Hong Kong. Cape Town was the best, man. When we came off the plane in Cape Town, they were just all there with their instruments and singing and dancing, and just the vibe there was class. Yeah, we've loved every single place we went. After the World Cup, we played in San Francisco, actually. We stayed for 2 weeks. We traveled the West Coast and did Vegas and LA and San Diego. Went on a massive piss up. None of us had money to spend, but we made a great time of it. So that's the best part about Sevens, is you see all these incredible places. And I love it. I'd recommend it to any young fella to
Greg,
try it out.
I believe there must be more to that story. Rugby boys in America for 2 weeks traveling the West and East Coast. How loose did it get out there? Come on, Greg. This is a podcast celebrating the loose nature of rugby.
It was 13 lads traveling the West Coast, sharing 3 hotel rooms.
Yeah, nice. Like boarding school.
Lads pulling birds and coming home to the hotel room, and there's lads already in the beds with other birds, and it's just like find sort yourself out. Lads were buying extra hotel rooms just to get themselves the kids, like things like that. So it was very funny. But Hugo Keenan, who plays fullback for Ireland now, he somehow had a contact in Vegas. Don't know how he knew someone there. Sort us out with all clubs, like straight in the VIP line, sorting us out with tables, all that. I don't know how he got that sorted, still to this day. And then we went to LA then after that, and we stayed in a frat house with the UCLA rugby team. That was just carnage. Like, but they couldn't get over how hard we drank and how hard we partied. You think now from like the American Pie movies and stuff that they'd be much better than us, but they were appalled by how much we were able to drink.
So how long did you stay in the frat house?
We were there for 3 days. And then I got incredibly sick, man. I picked up some infection, and I thought it'd be a good idea to go down to the local pharmacy and buy over-the-counter drugs, and just started taking loads of painkillers and stuff, and burnt a hole in my stomach, got so sick. Brought myself to the ER, got an Uber to the ER, and it was dirty. For the last 5 days, I just kind of shook in a hostel bed like this for ages. Like,
man, that's what happens when you smash it, when you go on the piss that hard. That's what happens.
I lost 10 kg. I was in bits. It took me honestly half a year to get back to the shape I was in. Jeez. But like, it was worth it for the piss up.
Is that the loosest 3 days you've ever experienced in your life? I mean, surely nothing else can
come. 2 weeks, 3 days he was ill.
Sorry, 3 days
it's
in the frat house.
It's up there. I've up there. I did a good trip to Amsterdam with my schoolmates before as well. That was pretty good. That got a bit weird. Yeah.
Different kind of medication over the counter over there.
Yeah. With the rugby lifestyle, you only have certain weeks in the year you can actually go hard at it. And because you're so locked up for the rest of the year, it's just all built up and you go overboard for that time you've off. But you have to live in the
Are you a man who enjoys frequenting Dubs and Portugal? Like, do you like to go out to Valdelobo, a bit of Dubai?
No, I wouldn't be one of those posh lads going to Valdelobo. That's all the Leinster lads now and people like your man actually.
That's my set, the Bath guys.
Yeah.
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 I went there once and I just felt very out of place. I don't think I was passionate for it.
Hey, listen, you've got a rig. That's half the battle.
Yeah, no, I'd be more about 30 minutes away in Villamora and places like that. I haven't been promoted to Valdelobo yet, but maybe now.
Mate. Now we're connected, yeah. And I'll connect with your LinkedIn afterwards. You know, things will happen, doors will open.
Yeah, I don't even have LinkedIn. I'm not on it. Never started.
Oh, mate, when you get to London, that's the. And by the way, it's a phenomenal dating app.
No way.
Yeah.
How many dating apps are you on? I say you're on all of them.
Yeah, I mean, Instagram and LinkedIn are the best ones for me. But then, I mean, I use business cards as well. So business cards, handing out my business card is actually, that's an unknown area, really, to go to. Highly recommend getting, if you just had a business card saying Greg O'Shea, 1 million followers, rig, hashtag rig underneath, I'm just your number, you get a lot of feedback.
You think it would work?
I think so. Yeah.
I've seen all these tips, man. When I get over to Clapham, I'm going to be hanging out with you.
Speak to Hask as well. He'll be able to also give you some insight. I mean, obviously he's married now, but
Hask is done. Yeah, he has the wife.
Yeah, but he back in the day, he was an operator.
And Paul Zoran Jones used to misbehave a lot. Just finishing on the sevens quickly, Greg. Obviously, you spent some time, I read, in Russia, where you experienced some horrific sort of food, local food. Like, what was the story behind that?
Yeah, so we've been to Moscow twice, and this is playing for the European Cup. So, and it's definitely nowhere near the World Series. Like, this is very kind of like crap hotels and shite pitches and stuff like that. But you have to do it. That's all part of it for building yourself up to get into the World Series. And there was this pink chicken in the buffet. And obviously, every normal person would be like, better not eat that. We have a tournament this weekend. It probably wouldn't be too good for you. But one of the lads, Adam Levy, decided to make a full plate of it, scoffed it all up, said it was unbelievable, was on the shitter then for the next 3 days. Like, he was bit. So, stay away from the pink chicken in Moscow, but it was a good experience.
Greg, we had Maeve Madden. Do you know Maeve Madden?
I do know Maeve, yeah.
We had her on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and she was telling us...
She was on Rare.
She was in Rare.
She went on a date with Mario Fellini.
Yeah, some wonderful stories about
her. And Ollie Murs.
Going on dates with Fellini and Ollie Murs. So we want to know, obviously being a famous man, who are the celebrities who have crept into your DMs or you've been on a date with? Have you ever dated a fellow celeb outside Love Island?
Who's the most famous person that follows you?
Do you know what, actually? Sam Smith followed me and slipped into my DMs. Do you know what Sam Smith?
Yeah.
What did he say?
Do you know what? I think he thought I swung the other way. And he slipped in pretty flirty. Yeah. And I was with all the lads in Vancouver at a World Series event. And we were all sitting at the dining table. And I was like, lads, look at this. The place erupted. Like, and I was like, what do? I kind of have to reply because it's Sam Smith. But I think he thinks I'm homosexual. Obviously, there's nothing wrong with being homosexual. No. I'm just not.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I have to reply. It's Sam Smith. So I replied. He was like, hey, how are you, handsome with a heart? Or something along those lines. And I replied being like, oh yeah, I'm good, man. How are you? Like, good man. How are you? Very like butch way of replying. And he just double tapped and moved along.
Oh my God. He should have sung to you. Normally Archie sings a bit of Nickelback to try and get girls interested.
But I don't think he identifies as a man or a woman. I think I don't know what he identifies as. But I think me calling him man or saying man kind of offended
put him off.
Yeah, so I could have played that a bit better. But
so, Greg, finally, you're off to the Olympics this summer in Japan. How excited are you for the challenge which lies ahead? And also, we had an England Hall of Famer, Danielle Waterman, now a wonderful commentator on the podcast recently. She revealed how at the Olympics in Rio, there were bubblegum machines stuffed full of condoms and lubricants in the dining rooms for all the teams. So another sort of quick question almost is, which country would you like to be paired with in a bubble? Which team, which country?
Brazil.
Straight away what comes to mind is either Brazil or Colombia, like beach volleyball team. Wouldn't
yes,
be bad.
Please.
That would be great.
Same building as them. But this Olympics, man, is going to be the shit-crack Olympics. We're not allowed to do anything. We're not allowed to go to events. Once we finish playing, we have to fly home straight away. So there's no staying on to go to other events and start drinking and going on the piss. So if there's one Olympics you probably don't want to go to, it's this one. But it's still an Olympics. I'm obviously going to take it and be delighted to be there and compete to the best of my ability.
Have you been sent guidelines that you can't interact with other teams and... You know,
there's going to be no fun at all. Like, it's basically into your dorm and wait there until you're about to play. So yeah, and there's no supporters in the stadiums, but do you know what? It's still an Olympics and we're still going to have a good crack, and hopefully they might loosen up a little bit and let us go out and meet other athletes and stuff and have the
network.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you don't want to be forgetting your deep heat in your suitcase, Greg. when the Olympics is over and done with, how much longer do you plan to stay playing rugby? I mean, come on, you've achieved it all. You've been to the Olympics, which is the creme de la creme for a sevens player. What's the plan afterwards? When you retire, what's next?
You know what, man? I've got asked that question a lot recently, and I'm kind of at that place where I have to make the decision because the contracts are coming up at the end of the summer. So do I keep going? But I've played a World Cup, Sevens World Cup. I've played an entire World Series. I am selected for the Olympics. I just need to get onto the pitch now, play in Olympics. That's the big three for the sevens. Like, so do I really need to do it again? That's the question. And I've said no to so many opportunities over the last 2 years because of Love Island. So I think it might be time to maybe hang up the boots and see if the other side of my life is still there and willing to make me a bit of money and take some opportunities. And I'd love to go on a show like I'm a Slab or Strictly to kind of throw me back into that world again. I'd absolutely love to do something like that, but who knows if they'll have me. I might be completely irrelevant at this stage.
Well, Archie's doing a couple of shows, formats they're pitching with Haskell to ITV4.
Yeah. But that's more reality TV show.
It's more reality TV again.
That's more, it's business and banter for ITV4. It's where me and Hass go into a business. He hits the decks, plays the music in the office, and I just go around sorting out like what people are doing wrong in business. Because first and foremost, I'm a businessman.
And finally, Greg, you've been absolutely wonderful to give us so much time, and we wish you the best of luck in Tokyo. We can't wait to see you in Clapham, obviously, where you're going to relocate, settle down, and be neighbours with Archie forevermore.
And be best friends. Yeah.
You will be best friends. It's going to be wonderful. But finally, what goes down as your biggest regret? You look back at a wonderful career so far. You're still doing so much in the game. But what goes down as your biggest regret and also your biggest highlight? What's the best moment you've ever experienced, but also the worst?
My biggest regret is probably myself and Amber not handling after the show in a better manner. It could have gone a lot more cleaner and I could have not got absolutely annihilated by the public. My best memory is probably qualifying for the World Series with the Irish Sevens team in Hong Kong back in 2019. It was in March, just before going into the Villa. And it was big because it's taken us 4 years to get to that stage, coming up through European Division D, playing in like Bosnia-Herzegovina against Cyprus, beating them 80-0, like all the way up to playing in Hong Kong. And you had to win the tournament in Hong Kong. We were playing against Hong Kong, so the crowd was against us, and we beat them. And it was just 4 years of hard work, just relief, elation when we won it. So that's probably my best moment.
Greg, you have been an absolute legend. We wish you the best of luck in Tokyo. Thank you so much for giving us your time, and we cannot wait to see you in
Greg,
London.
Thanks very, very much.
Thanks very much, boy.
Greg fucking O'Shea. I'm sorry, I don't want to swear, but he is brilliant.
Yeah, what a chassis.
Yeah.
What a guy.
Mate, he's done it all.
He's
Love
clean
Island,
cut.
Olympics,
he's clean cut. He's going to do exceptionally well when he gets to London, and I personally hope he comes to live with me, because it'd be great content for Instagram.
It would be unbearably good.
I think
content.
He really enjoyed me. I think actually, I find it hard to find a guest that hasn't enjoyed me.
Okay. Well, yeah, he seemed to get on with you relatively well. I didn't say he was sort of blown away by you at all. But
he recognized that as a big wig.
Yeah.
Good networking.
Wanna see you in the clubhouse. I wanna see you in the clubhouse. I wanna hear about the time that you met that rugby player. Fucking see you in the clubhouse. I wanna see you in the clubhouse. I wanna hear about the time that you got pissed with that rugby player.
So Archie, we are back with the wonderful guys from Suns.
Wait, is it clubhouse story time?
It's clubhouse stories time.
Boop, boop, boop. All aboard the clubhouse story train.
But before we
next stop, Banterville. Yeah, because we've had some quite good stories recently.
Yeah, well, we have so them, good. But before we get,
we've got to talk about Suns before.
Well, before we get to
people will just fast forward this. They'll skip 15 seconds, then they get to the pitter patter.
One of the platform before Banterville is the Suns, and they're changing guys' lives for the better by giving them new lids and also sorting out their immune systems, their chassis, and making them perform better on and off the field.
Full respect to them. Full respect to them.
They're literally doing God's work. They're doing God's work. They're doing incredible work. And also,
they're paying us for this.
Well, yeah.
Totally. Yeah, okay, good. Yeah. They're doing a bloody good job.
But we're doing God's work by giving out free cash for people to buy these things on.
Exactly. So What's the code?
Well, the code is RIGBIZ25, and what it does, it gets you 25 quid off their market-leading probiotic supplement. It's the best on the market, the highest rated, and guess what? It changes your immune system, it firms up your stools, it gives you the confidence you need to find that extra 1 or 2% in work, out work, and with a female or male Amara.
Mate, I love firm stools. There is actually no better feeling than a firm stool coming out of you.
Well, if you guys want to share that same feeling with Archie Curzon, then all you have to do is go to the Suns website. And if you've already reclaimed your lid, you can also still reclaim your lid. But if you already have, then go and sort out the shares and put in the code RIGBIZ25 and get 25 quid off your 1 or 3 month
package. It's a bloody good code, that. Bloody good code.
Well, Archie.
Oh, here we go.
Today's story comes from Ruan Shah.
Shazzy!
Yes, please, Mr. Shazzy. And he says...
Shazzy, are we connected on LinkedIn? I'm only joking. We've been connected for years.
Yeah. You know Shazzy.
He absolutely loves that chat. I say that to him the whole time.
Okay, right. Well, he says, hi, Archie.
Hey, mate. How you doing?
I hope this finds you well.
I'm finding myself very well at the moment. Due to the beautiful weather. That's actually a good way he could start his email. I hope this finds you well. I hope you're enjoying this beautiful weather, because everyone is enjoying this beautiful weather. And it just shows that, you know about the weather.
It's a great talking point.
Yeah, it is.
Well, he says,
good start.
He says a few summers ago.
Yeah. Which summer?
Well, I don't know, a few.
All right, because there's been some bloody good summers.
I say maybe
last summer was shit.
Yeah, last summer was shit.
But it's probably the summer before that.
Yeah, so probably 2020.
Yeah, bloody good summer. Okay, we don't know the date, though.
No, we don't know the exact one. But
Shazzy, you're crazy like that.
He says, Leicester Tigers and Sale Sharks both had their end-of-season drinks up in Leeds.
Oh, no! Two massive clubs drinking.
In Leeds, yeah. Uh-oh,
I think I know this equation. Leicester plus Sale equals carnage.
Yeah, carnage. Anyway,
oh, no. What's going to happen? I don't know.
Well, we're going to find out very shortly. He said all the boys were in fancy dress.
Oh, I bet they were. That sounds like I would really enjoy that night.
With a few particular highlights, Sam James was wearing an extremely short dress.
That is really funny. That's quite a good go-to as a rugby lad to wear a dress.
And Genji had gone full Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Genji was there. He probably would have wanted me to come along. He's been on the podcast. So
yeah, he has been. He loves it.
Genji!
Panache. He was showing off his pretty ridiculous chassis.
Yeah, he's got. To be fair to him, he's in bloody good nick.
Sam had somehow managed to lose his boxes during the day.
Oh, because I bet one of the boys pulled it off. It's like a joke.
Maybe Coley.
That's quite funny.
The dress wasn't quite long enough without boxes.
Oh, no.
So he was pretty much on full display to everyone at the pub.
Was any good?
Apparently, okay.
He
then offered me 40 quid for my boxes.
He will have quite a lot of money playing a professional rugby player. Not as much money as me, but yeah, okay. 40
decent
quid
coin.
Is nothing for him.
A serious amount of coin.
Think about it. That 40 quid could go to charity, but he just got, give me your boxes.
Yeah.
Because I need your charity.
Well, a serious amount of
coin.
What
did Shazzy do?
So Shazzy said it was a serious amount of coin for some used underwear.
Yeah.
Obviously, I went straight to the toilets to go commando, and he handed over the coin for my very sweaty undergarments.
Oh, no, yeah.
As an extra thank you, Genji came over and gave me his pint. I thanked him and drank it.
What happened next?
It was warm.
That's it?
Didn't even sign off.
Oh, God. Because Genji's in it, and because there was a man in a dress and a bit of willy on show, give that 6 out of 10.
Yeah, that's pretty generous.
It was quite short.
It was quite short, I think he may have forgotten to write the second paragraph. He wrote this at 3 a.m. on July the 12th, so I'm guessing he was writing and then he fell asleep, maybe.
Whoop, whoop, on the old barriers of the, you know who would like a bit of banter at this time?
Who?
The RIGBIZ boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Shazzy all over. He's put an all-nighter in the office, which is, again, very admirable. Shazzy.
But it's a shame he didn't finish off the story.
But did enjoy that, though. Did enjoy that. That is carnage.
Well, that's a 6 out of 10.
I get to have a night out with them. I love it. Just getting all fancy dressed up. I'll tell you what I would do. What? Write this down because I don't want to forget when I do go out.
Sure.
Bring an extra pair of boxers. Oh, mate, it's a hell of a pod, mate. A hell of a week.
It's been a
fantastic. We've done bloody
week.
Well. One live pod, one recorded pod.
It's been
we
wonderful.
We don't skip a week. We work
don't.
Bloody hard.
We work double weeks. We work double sets. Yeah. We work double as hard for you guys.
That'll go down in history.
That was fantastic.
I'll be updating my LinkedIn profile about this week.
Well, you know, obviously Greg was a bit of a surprise guest, but he was fantastic.
I thought we played bloody well, considering we've had two big fixtures, and you know, you're not fully recovered.
Well, also it was a change from 15s to 7s, wasn't it? We had to change positions.
And I think, you know, what I'd say to boys is, look, we're moving on. It's about getting those little victories. I think that's probably a 6-3 victory. Mm-hmm. Although the weather's nice, it's just tough. The energy was a bit low in the team.
Yeah.
But I said, boys, listen, onwards and upwards. Next week, we've got bigger and better things to think about. Take the week off. We're having any training this week. We're just going to the game.
So we got the week off from the pod, do we?
Yeah. No. The pod will be back. But I was just saying, boys, you know, no training. Just relax. You know, go see your wives, your girlfriends, your mates. Have a few beers on me.
Yeah.
Not too many, though.
Yeah, and not actually many. On you. You probably
and if you want, actually, if you want me to come along, I'll come.
Well, I'm sure they'd be tempted for a pint with you, Archie. Everyone
but
always
have we talked
is.
About more lash?
We have not mentioned it, but that's a good time to bring it in.
Guys,
more lash is out and about.
For the Lions.
We were in Infernos on Monday. People loved it. Sold out there. So, guys.
It's now in Infernos. You can buy it in Infernos.
You can walk in Infernos, even if you don't want to dance there, which, why wouldn't you? It's a wonderful place. But go and get more lash, and it's going to come to some pubs in Clapham and further afield very soon. So go check that out. Go sort out your chassis and your lids with the guys from Sons. And also, don't miss out on the incredible offers from Fitz Dares.
Just a big shout out to our Gentex.
Yeah, go on.
I went there last Wednesday and delivered a 50-minute power hour speech to the sales team. And they bloody enjoyed it. Actually, some impressive rigs on display. Fantastic place for so people who are looking to move to London and get a job.
Okay.
Yeah, great networking place. And also, they've got a golf simulator.
Really?
Yeah, I've become quite chummy with the CEO. Bloody good guy. Got a lot of coin.
Will you be back there to do some more motivation?
A lot of chat. Not so much on the chassis, but when you're that successful.
Like Goffey.
Yeah, you don't need it. But really good guy. So big shout out to Gentex. Thanks for having me. Paid me handsomely as well. But I think they will see that money back just because what I delivered to the sales team.
They're all motivated and ready to go.
Yeah.
Well, we're motivated and ready to go to enjoy our weekend. So,
that's
guys,
a bloody good shout out,
have
actually.
A wonderful time and we will see you all next week.
Freedom! Freedom! Na, na, na.
As always, seven tongue tied.